This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Welcome, rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock and the Money Podcast, episode 84. It's time to upgrade your saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, corporate in-house lawyer, real estate referral agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with your questions and comments, 989-888-7625. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hi, Amanda.
Hey, Craig. Hey, so I heard or I've seen that you have this whole other project going on.
It's so embarrassing. Yes. It's embarrassing. Yes. There are actually friends that discovered me doing what I'm doing. They didn't even realize it was me because I wear kind of an outfit.
You have a persona. That's for sure.
Yeah. They were like, wait a minute, that's you? I'm like, yeah, that's me. They're like, what? Yeah.
So what is it that you're doing again?
Okay, so on Facebook, Facebook is getting into video game streaming, which means you watch people play video games, which to older people, that sounds really bizarre. Like, why would people watch people play video games? Anyway, so I am now one of these people. I'm a rare older person that's playing video games and streaming it on webcam, and people are watching me play it, and I make money doing that.
So where can people find you if they want to watch you?
This is embarrassing. Are you serious?
I'm serious. Oh,
okay. So it's on Facebook.com/RocklandUSA, which we've mentioned Rockland USA a lot, which is my overall LLC, which you're a part of. That's what's called. So it's fb.gg/RocklandUSA or facebook.com/RocklandUSA.
RocklandUSA. Yep. And we are on Rock on the Money.
Rock. That's where the rock came from part of the RocklandUSA thing. Yes. So.
Yeah. Part of the overall brand.
Uh-huh. That's my side gig, Amanda.
It's turning into your main gig though.
Yep.
Just so people understand, you are streaming for a full 6 hours a day, plus all the other work, when you're off camera. So it's not really a side gig.
I treat it like a full-time job because I got laid off and I had no, it is a full-time job. And actually, you know, it's funny. I didn't even know Amanda was going to bring this up. I swear. I'm like, oh my gosh, you caught me off guard. There's actually a question coming up about side hustles. And when your side hustle makes the same as your regular income, what do you do? That's coming up. Oh, okay. So it's funny you ask that because the income from the side gig of that, people would literally be shocked at how much I make playing a video game on a webcam.
Yeah.
People would literally, there are people making millions of dollars doing this.
Hmm.
There's one guy on Facebook, because you brought it up real quick. I'm going to stun everybody with this. There's a guy on Facebook gaming called Stone Mountain 64. He plays not Fortnite, but there's a game called Call of Duty. Your husband knows that, right? So he gets $5 per supporter or subscriber. Okay, so do the math, Amanda. He has 17,000 monthly supporters paying $5 a piece. He keeps 100% of that. What's $5 times 17,000?
$85,000.
He makes $85,000 a month just from the supporters. That doesn't include all the tips, the ad revenue from video ads when you can watch a video on Facebook. He has endorsement deals now. He's literally making millions playing a video game.
It's a full-time gig,
And he puts, what people don't see is all the hours off camera. But anyway, when you see people playing video games, they're getting paid for that on camera.
Mm-hmm.
People would be shocked.
I mean, I guess it sort of makes sense, Craig. I mean, when I was younger and Nintendos had just come out, Yeah, everyone, all you little kindergartners get together, and what do? You watch each other play the game, right?
Yep. I mean, the girl that cuts my hair, right? She'd never heard of Twitch. Twitch is owned by Amazon. Yeah. I said, I pulled up my phone. I pulled up a video game. There was these two NBA basketball players playing a video game of basketball, NBA 2K. And I said, look right now, there's 231,000 people watching these two guys playing a video game.
That's crazy.
That's more than what the audience is for CNN.
Okay.
During the day.
Well, so I just wanted people to know that they can, if they love you, Craig, they can find you and watch you.
You will be shocked at what I look like and what I'm doing. I'm driving a tractor trailer, virtual tractor trailer. I think, Amanda, were you not shocked at some of the numbers I sold you?
Yeah, no, but also I think it's deserved because you have really embraced the work and also the fact that you need to have like a character to be entertaining.
And I do have a passion for it. It's not just, I'm not doing it for the money. It's just, that part just happened. I actually do it. I've been doing it for years and I'm doing it again as a last hurrah to see if I can do it as an old.
You sound like you have one foot in the grave. Hurrah.
It is hard. It's more difficult for a 50-year-old to be streaming a video game than a 20-year-old. It is tough. Women have a hard time doing it because they get harassed all the time. The next level is the older people because nobody wants boomers playing video games.
Yeah.
Boomer.
Yeah, if we want real entertainment, you'll watch me play a video game because I'm terrible.
That I will see eventually. Do you and Matt play video games together?
No.
I
don't play video games.
I know you. Period. You don't. Anyway,
the last game I played was Sonic the Hedgehog. Tetris. I love Tetris.
That's a good game. Both of those. Mm-hmm. Hey,
and Super Mario Brothers, but only the original. I don't like all this.
Yeah, the new ones are all. They repackaged it too many times. We got social media questions. So let's get through these real quick. Number one. Once again, a misunderstanding about Roth. Jake wants to know, I just noticed my employer offers a Roth. I've been putting 15% of my retirement into a 401k. Should I stop the 401k contribution and change it over to the Roth?
Okay. So yes, I think there's, again, as you said, a misunderstanding here. So 401k is where you contribute your money. Mm-hmm. The categorization of traditional versus Roth is the way that taxes are handled on it.
Right.
So what Jake means is that he's been putting 15% pre-tax dollars towards his 401k when he really has the option to do 15% post-tax, which would be a Roth. Mm-hmm. So you should continue to put 15%, assuming you are in that step of your baby steps of journey,
right.
Then you can put your 15%, continue to put it in the 401k, but select it to be after taxes, aka Roth. Yep.
There you go.
And that leave means your other that money you room. Would not pay any tax on your withdrawals on it when you retire.
There you go. And leave the other money alone. You can leave that. And then when you retire, use your original traditional 401k money first, leave the Roth alone to the very last.
Right.
So
that's the difference, and that's the advantage there, is the 15% that you're putting in traditional right now, pre-tax, you're not paying any tax on it. So tax man's going to get his money, but it's just postponed. So you'll pay tax on it when you take it as income in your retirement. If you contribute after tax, that means you've already paid an income tax on it. That's the after part. Mm-hmm. And you're contributing it now, and then whatever that creates, or you know, the compounding into, and you have millions instead of thousands by the time you get to retirement, you're not going to pay any tax on that.
There you go. Very common misunderstanding. We always hear about, people think Roth is something different. It's the same.
Yeah. 401k. So they're both options within the 401k. It's just an election of pre-tax versus after-tax contributions.
It literally is that simple. Yep. Number two. I love this question because of the coronavirus. Now we'll get to that. Beth wants to know, just curious, how much would you recommend saving up to have a baby? let me explain why I just said there.
There's not like a cap on that.
However, and the reason I added this in here is not about how much to save up, But it's how, what I want them to do if they're doing the baby steps, right, Amanda? Let's say you're in the baby step two. It's literally the same as what we told people to do with the coronavirus. What you do is you actually stop what you're doing while the baby steps. And now it's weird I'm talking about baby steps with a baby. But what we want to do is now put that money into like an emergency fund, build that up in case something goes wrong with the baby and your medical bills are who knows what. We don't know. Okay. So we want to pause the baby steps and put that money away and start working on that other emergency fund. Then the baby is delivered, baby comes home, and everything's fine. Then we go back and resume the baby steps. We take all that money, go back and fund whatever you're at. So that's why I added in there. As far as a dollar amount, that's up to you. If it's your first baby, you're going to need a lot more money because you're going to want new everything. If it's your second or third, you don't care.
Yeah. Plus, let me just say, most people don't realize the expense involved in raising a child. Ugh. So, you know, the research has shown that raising a child from birth to age 17, it's around $250,000, so a quarter of a million.
Yeah.
So you really can't save too much.
No, you can't. You really got to work on that budget that you talk about a lot. Got to budget your money because it will drain you. Especially your first baby, because everybody wants everything.
And I would say the first year is really expensive, but every year is because it just changes. So the first year, you're buying a crib, you're buying like walkers and bouncy chairs and high chairs and swings and playpens. It's like a baby takes up so much space in your house because of all their crap.
That wouldn't be a bad savings, by the way.
Yeah.
Because everyone buys brand new.
Yeah.
There's so much secondhand stuff out there that people have.
Yeah, brand new for things that you're only going to use for a couple months. Yeah.
It's insane.
And then clothes, and then shoes. And then you graduate and then you start buying them things that toddlers use, So there's always a next stage and it just is an ever increasing cost. So
were you the firstborn or second or third or?
I'm the firstborn.
Oh, so you got all the new stuff.
I wouldn't say that.
No, but you know what I'm saying, because the second, third born, they're now wearing whatever the first one had.
Yeah. Well, I think I've shared before, most of the things in our household were secondhand from Goodwill or rummage sales. Yeah, that's true. We very rarely had anything new in the house.
Question number three, Regina. I got $6,000 towards my 6 month savings, and this includes the $1,000 emergency fund, which would be baby step one. Okay. I got a car payment about $350 every month. Loan is for $13,500. Do I pay off some of the loan with my $6,000 or continue my monthly car payments? Appreciate your constructive feedback. Thank you. You want me to say it or you want to say it?
I'm going to leave this one to you.
Okay. I'm going to be nice. Okay. And it is constructive. The way the baby step works are you're not doing the baby steps. So the baby steps are baby step one, which you did do, $1,000 emergency fund. Baby step two, pay off all of the debt except for your mortgage.
So that includes the car.
That would be that. And you should not be saving up 6 months worth of savings. That would be baby step three.
Unless your job is at risk because of this whole pandemic.
Or you have a baby on the way in question number two.
Yeah.
So that, you know what? That's a good point. Maybe that's what they're talking about. So yeah, if your job is now, a lot of people are getting laid off in October right now, this month, October 2020, no matter when you're listening to this. This is not a good month for people. There are a lot of people getting laid off. So if that's the case, if your job though is safe and everything, you do need to take that six months worth, excluding the $1,000 emergency fund, and apply it towards the car payment and get that thing paid off.
So $5,000 towards the $13,500.
There you go. Knock that down and then start doing the baby steps. Mm-hmm. So your baby steps are there. You just got them all out of whack. Mm-hmm. That's a technical term.
Right. So you mentioned that October is a terrible month for many people, but it's also a great month of opportunity for many people, because so many places are hiring seasonal workers right now that that it may not be your ideal job, but there certainly is opportunity to make money between now and the end of the year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's so much work out there. It's just may not be what you're used to. Got to think
or
outside
the
box.
What you want to be doing, yeah.
Right. Or you could be playing video games on a webcam. All right, we're going to take a quick break right now, and we'll come back. We got questions from Kesha. Ed, and I don't have a name on the last one. I think I left it out there. We'll be right back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
There, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect. Of the Money with Amanda and Craig. We got 3 questions still coming up. Don't forget, check us out at rockonthemoney.com. If you have any questions,
so I have
guys,
another question about your truck driving on video games.
Yes.
So I briefly popped in the other day and saw you're doing like jumps with a semi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Why?
So there's a place on this map.
That's why.
Because I can go to Idaho Falls. Did you know in Idaho Falls that where Evel Knievel jumped the canyon? You're too young to understand this. Go on YouTube. Evel Knievel was a motorcycle guy, right? And he jumped the Grand Canyon.
That makes sense to me. I don't know why, but that makes sense to me that someone in a motorcycle would do a huge jump. But a tractor trailer,
because the game developers put the same exact jump at that same canyon mark, and it's a secret road, and we found the secret road together with my viewers because I'm interactive with them. See, that's why they like me. So, and then we jumped the canyon.
Yeah.
And we see if we can make it with our, you're making this sound like, now I feel stupid.
Well, no. And then I also saw where a lot of times you just kind of like run over other cars and motorcycles and people and nothing happens.
Okay. So I reckon, there's a lot of accidents because I'm reading the chat room. I'm distracted. Never text and drive, people.
Yeah. You're a very distracted driver. And there's a lot of mayhem.
Okay. I don't like that you're watching what I'm doing. It makes me nervous now. Now I'm feeling like an idiot. Okay.
Sorry.
And I give out money advice, and I'm driving a fake tractor trailer. My credibility just went.
On another note,
yes.
So before we jump into the questions, I saw recently that Microsoft came out with money in Excel. Have you seen this?
No.
That if you have a subscription to Microsoft 365 Family or a personal subscription, you have access to what's called money in Excel, so you can download it and then it connects to all your accounts. So, we've talked in the past about budgeting apps. This is another option for you if you're a Microsoft 365 user.
Wow.
It does all that interactive connection. I have not used it myself, but I don't know. You probably remember Microsoft used to have a program called Money.
Yes, I do remember that. I do remember that. Look at you.
Yeah. Yeah. So now they've got money in Excel. So it's a Office 365 Excel application. When you go to new, you can download the template for money in Excel.
I stand by what I've said years ago. If there was one stock you should have, is Microsoft.
Yeah.
They have really great charts
and everything already built right in. So people who love Excel, this is going to be right up your alley.
I've made so much money for people because they bought Microsoft a couple of years ago. I have so many beers owed to me right now. It is the one stock. I still believe in that stock.
Wait, you have beers owed to you?
People owe me beers for how much money they've made off of Microsoft. Because they bought this thing when it was $60 and $70.
Yeah.
Years ago. I mean, wasn't that actually that long ago? Like three or 4 years ago. They are making killing. Anyway.
Yeah.
I still believe in that stock for the next 10 years.
So anyway, that's just another option for people to check out if you're looking for something to help you with your budgeting and to track all your expenses.
That's awesome. Question number four, you said Kesha. She had good music. And well, Kesha, apparently she asked us a question. I created a side hustle to pay off my debt. I love that. I'm a big fan of people doing that. And now it is becoming my main source of income. When do I quit my day job and switch to my side hustle? Is this a good idea?
Yeah, I think it's fine. If you're enjoying what you're doing as your side hustle, then go for it. Craig said earlier, you have to be passionate about it, though. If you're just doing it because you're making more money doing it, I don't know if that's a long-term plan. But
yeah, I wouldn't do it.
Go with your gut.
And yeah. Are you having fun and are you more passionate about that than your other job? Because a lot of people have jobs that they don't like.
Right.
So if this is the thing you want and it's working, I would double, triple down on what is working and go for it.
Yeah. What motivates you to get out of bed in the morning? Go that route.
But if people are doing side jobs or you start a home business and it's not doing that, I would not switch over. But when you get to the point where it's now like equaling what you were doing in your other job that you're working for someone else and you hate that. Oh, I would double, triple down on that other thing. Because now you have more time. If you quit the other job, now you can take those hours and put into that one and think how much you can make at that point.
Yeah. The only thing, the word of caution I have here is if it's an area in which seems to be a fad.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I might be more cautious about that. Or if it's something that's linked entirely to our lives during this pandemic, and you know, once life goes back to normal, that type of income would dry up, then I might be cautious about that.
You mean like a beanie baby business?
Yeah, but that's not about the pandemic. I'm thinking I don't know.
Oh, you're talking about a pandemic fad.
Yeah.
I got you.
I don't know if everyone's going to have food delivered to them forever and ever.
I don't think so. No.
I think people are going to want to go back out to eat and pick up their own food once we get over this hump. So I don't know if it's a long-term thing, but, you know, certainly make hay while the sun shines, right?
I'm not buying that everything is going to change in the future. I do believe that home offices will be a future thing. I do believe that part. But as far as people not eating out again, I think that's, no, it's going to go back to normal.
People or if your side hustle is making, you know, masks and selling them on Etsy.
Yeah, that's over.
I don't know if that's a 10-year plan.
No, I would not do that. But people are going to want to get out of their house even more because they're going to be working at home more. So I do believe that once this clears, travel's going to go through the roof. I believe restaurants will be fine. All that's getting back normal. But I do believe people will be working at home more. And now people are buying houses where they can build a nice home office and have an extra room for that.
Yeah.
I do believe
My only word of caution is think about, and these are just examples I'm making, and I don't necessarily feel strongly one way or the other, but think through what would it look like when things get back to some level of normalcy? Is it still going to be the same income level? And, you know, is this a fad? Like, the thing that comes to mind for me for fads are those LuLaRoe leggings that everyone was all the rage about a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question number five. Ed wants to know, he says he's raised his retirement contributions to 15% in the 401k. I love that. Thank you. I'm not liking how small my checks are looking.
Well,
that's, I feel I can pay the house off faster. I feel I can pay the house off faster with more take home pay, but I'm trying to stick to the plan. Thoughts? Okay, so let's read this. So that means he's in baby step four. because he's doing 15% 401k. But yeah. remember, you do 4, 5, and 6 simultaneously.
Yes.
So yeah. that's so he's actually doing it correctly, and he wants to stick to the plan. I think he's just frustrated that, oh man, I could pay it off faster if I wasn't doing the retirement. Thing is, you got to get that retirement going because you stopped it where you're doing baby steps 1, 2, and 3. We got to get that going. So I get what you're saying. It's more important to get that house done. I mean, I'm sorry, the 15% going than pay off that house. That's why it's baby step 4 and not 6.
Right. I agree. So yeah, Ed, it's definitely painful when you're used to a certain level of income coming in and then you up that contribution and your paycheck take home pay, you know.
And he's probably doing the Roth, which means, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, but, I get it. That's tough. But so then you think about these side hustles, whatever you can do to make a bigger shovel to help make the contributions to your house faster.
And trust me, your income should grow over time anyway. So it's probably an initial shock now. Things will change over time. And then once you're done with the house, I'm telling you, your money is going to flow in. You're like, you will be stunned. And you did really nothing different.
Plus, you have all your other debt paid off. So start making whatever you had from those that is not sucked up by the reduced pay from your 15% contribution. Put that towards the house.
You're right. He's only looking at his paycheck. Yeah.
Yeah. You're only looking at it. Plus, I know it's painful now, but when you get to retirement, you're going to be so glad that you didn't sacrifice those contributions. No.
And you will be part of a very small fraction of the United States that is so much better off because there's going to be a lot of people hurt in the future that are not doing any of this stuff.
I mean, it's kind of like running, right? Like, I hate running. Oh, I Someone hate once it. Told me, like, no one regrets the run they actually did, right?
Oh, I hate these quotes.
Yeah, like when you're done running, you don't say, oh, I really regret going for a run. I mean, unless you're really sore and everything, but... You can get through the day and you make excuses. You're like, oh, I don't have time or I don't feel like it. And then you get to the end of the day. And you're like, yeah, I really wish I'd gone running today. Right.
Yeah.
But you don't get to the end of the day and say, oh, I really wish I hadn't fit in that run. So this is kind of like where you're going to get to retirement and say, oh, I'm really glad that I sacrificed early rather than when you get to retirement and say, oh, I really wish I had kept my contributions at 15%. You can't go back in time.
The worst thing you could ever have when you get older is regret.
Yeah.
Don't make that mistake. You're doing it correctly. You got it. It'll work out. You are so much better off than 90% of the United States right now. I guarantee
it. So Craig, I'm going to read the next question for you.
Uh-oh.
What's the benefit to a Roth IRA as opposed to just buying mutual funds in a brokerage account?
Okay. So
trick question.
It is a trick question. Someone just asked this in a different form in our Facebook group because they said, okay, I made changes to my 401k contributions, my funds. When does it take effect?
Oh, yeah.
So that's, I'm going to go down that route between what's the difference between a Roth IRA. Well, wait a minute. No, Roth IRA, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. I was thinking about 401k. It's an IRA. It's a trick question. Your IRA is a brokerage account or it can be a brokerage account. When you set up a thing like a Schwab, let's just use Schwab. We like Schwab, Vanguard, Fidelity. Well,
so here's, I think, what the question's getting at. So what's the benefit to Roth versus just having a brokerage account?
Let's do that one.
So the benefit is entirely about the
taxes. Oh, big time. Because here's the difference, like if you have it in a brokerage account, capital gains, you have that, and it's not protected by every year you trade.
Every year.
You got to file that every time. And every individual trade, Amanda.
Yeah.
I've had to do that before. I used to do some day trading. You know what got me out of it? I was doing okay, but you know what? It was the paperwork. It was not worth it. All the hassle that I was doing and the risk. You have to print out every single trade that you do.
Well, and I mean, your brokerage just give will you send those. They'll send you a summary at the end of the year.
And they do put it on the form for you, but still. So whatever your gains, losses, it's just a pain. They got to do capital gains because you did a short-term hold on it. All that. You know what? If you do it through the Roth IRA and just buy and hold the way you should, the way I do it now, It's so much easier. And you do make money over time. It's just so much easier.
But you can use the brokerage account money anytime you want. There's no restrictions on it. The Roth IRA, the IRA part means individual retirement account. So you can't pull out your gains from that retirement account without having a penalty.
Right. 59 and a half. Yep.
Right. You can pull out your contributions. That's fine, but you can't pull out anything that's grown from that. So you do have those, but it'll grow tax-free and you won't ever have to pay a dime of at least federal. I don't know if any states tax it, but you won't have any federal income tax on it.
Yep. The whole point of the individual retirement account is to force you to leave it alone until 59 and a half. It's to keep you from, it's slapping you on the hand to keep you from touching your money.
Right.
So, yeah. Now, if brokerage account, if you have like some play money, like do you have a little bit of money that you invest in just like off the side? Because you got everything paid off.
So. My husband does, but yes. Yeah. Like we've said time and time again, there's very little success in that.
No, there is. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the stress.
I witness it firsthand on a daily basis.
Shh, don't tell him. He's not listening. I'm now done with all that. I just park it, leave it high quality and leave it alone. I do so much better and plus I don't have to do the capital gains or any of that stuff. I'm tired of all that stuff. It's so much easier. I should have been doing this years ago, but we can't tell our Robinhood listeners. So they just want to treat it like a casino, but knock yourself out. You do you. But don't tell us about it.
That's the benefit. It gets to grow tax-free as opposed to the brokerage account that you're going to be paying capital gains tax on each and every year that you have trades going on.
And that's the real answer right there. We just elaborated on 5 minutes. Well, I did, like I always do.
Yeah.
Well, but we still kept our 30 minutes. Well, thank you, Amanda. That was another great episode. I love these questions. Don't forget to email us your questions to podcast@rocklandusa.com. And we'll answer them right here on the show.
Yeah. And don't forget to call us.
Yes. 989-888-ROCK. 989-888-7625. And we'll play the voicemails. You don't have to use your name, but just give us a question. We'd love to hear the voicemails again. That was fun. Right.
That was fun.
We need to get that promoted.
Lovely to hear someone else's voice. And don't forget, while you have time, go check out, what is it, Facebook/Rockland USA?
Yeah, look for the red, white, and blue R. It has a star in the middle of it. That's the logo for it. And just go in the search bar and type in Rockland USA. And Facebook has been promoting me lately. So I've been getting, guys, 100 to 300,000 viewers per day.
And you do your live stream at crazy hours, right? Like 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern time?
Yes. I have reasons why I do that.
Besides the fact that you're just an early riser.
But when I sell the course on how to stream, I will include why I do that.
Okay. Sounds good.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter @AgileAmanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms @RocklandUSA. Don't forget, check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.